You grab your Bibles with me this morning. Invite you to turn with me to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 12. Just want to read a couple verses before we have a time of prayer and get in the message. Daniel, chapter 12. Just show me a hand if you're there already. Just show me a hand. All one of you. Two of you. Daniel's in the book, the Old Testament, by the way, in case you're wondering. Book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. Want to begin with verse 1, just want to read four verses. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life and others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Verse 4, but you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I thank you again for your word. I thank you again for your spirit that opens up our heart and our minds. I thank you for the anointing of understanding that rests upon us as your children, to be able to grasp things of the kingdom that the logical mind could never understand. Before we begin, I ask for a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, you would take literal possession of my mind and my mouth. I only want to say what I hear you say and do what I see you do. And with the authority you have given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird. I command you to be silent. I command you to release every person under the sound of my voice and be outside the walls of this building and off this property in Jesus' name. And Father, I want to say thank you. From beginning to end, you have been speaking in this place. Holy Spirit, you have been speaking rhema words, I believe, into the lives of many here this morning. I want to say thank you that during this time, people are going to hear things that are not going to come out of my mouth. I pray they would know it's you. I pray they would capture it, and I pray they would be obedient to it. We believe a single word from you can change everything. And so I thank you in advance as your word goes forth. You have promised it will not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. And I declare this word accomplishes the purpose for which it is sent. I ask it in the powerful name of Jesus, and everybody in agreement said, amen. This morning I want to begin by asking you a question. How many of you are familiar with the term artificial intelligence? Just raise your hand. Artificial intelligence, AI. All of us are. It's not a new term, but in the last number of years, because of the advancements in this area, AI is being talked about more than probably any other time. In most all of our lives, AI is on front and center around the world today. The Bible tells us clearly that as born-again Christians, we are in the world, but we are not what? We're not of it. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 17. I just keep your Bible with you. We're going to do a few verses before I get going here. John chapter 17, and I want you to see this. This is the prayer that Jesus prayed before he went to the cross. John chapter 17, I want to begin at verse 14. I'll begin verse 13. If you have a red letter edition, this is in red, and it is Jesus speaking. He says this, I am coming to you now, Father, but I say these things while I am still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I would love to just stop there for a second and say that is what the Father wants for you and I in this earth journey, is the full measure of his joy inside of us. We're not going to go there. Verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. Would you like to sign up? I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Jesus made the statement when he was sending his followers out into the world. He said this in Matthew 10. He said, when you go out, he said, be as innocent as what? Doves? And as wise as what? Serpents. The truth is, and I want to say this carefully this morning, for many of us, we got the innocent as doves part, but somehow we miss the wise as serpents part. I want to ask you a blunt question this morning, and it's not a happy one, but I'm going to ask you anyway. I want to know, we as Christians have a reputation in this world. I want to ask you what we're known for. Without you answering, I'm going to tell you. We are known as a people who are too trusting. We're known as a people who are naive when it comes to the things of the world. We are known as a people who are gullible. We are known to be a people who are too gentle, and all of us have tire tracks all over our face because we let people drive and walk all over us. We're a people that are known, oh, they're a Christian. We can easily take advantage of them. And how many Christians have been taken advantage of because the wisdom of a serpent has not been in us? Easily misled, way too giving, easily deceived. And I want to tell you right now, we are living in a day where the Christian church is being deceived, maybe like we have never seen since Christ was on earth before. The day of deception in the church is greater now than ever. I want to tell you, there is a reason why we have been called sheep for hundreds and thousands of years. Not that we are good, faithful followers of our shepherd Jesus, but because we are easily fleeced by this world. Taken advantage of, deceived and misled. We could talk about that all day long. But it's the second part of it, that Jesus statement, that I want to focus on for the next bit. The wise as serpents part. So we're not ignorant, we're not vulnerable, not taken advantage of, not deceived, not fleeced by this world. But rather, because we're followers of Christ, because we are filled with his spirit, the world and the devil will not be able to do to us what it's doing to all of the other people out there who are vulnerable. But because we have Holy Spirit, because we have God himself on the inside of us, it's different. I want to just tell you, and I want to throw this out there, but I want you to hear it. Do you know that the Bible says in this world, as believers, you and I are to be wiser. You and I are to be smarter. You and I are to be more discerning. You and I are to be more protected than anybody else who walks the face of the earth. I wish I could tell you that has been the case from the very beginning, but it's not. In fact, we are what the Bible says. It says those of the world are blinded. It says, but we who have Christ are to have our eyes wide open. We're to see things with clarity. We are to walk in truth when everyone else is walking in a lie. We are to be standing like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when everybody is bowing and bending to what's going on in the world. That's supposed to be us. Today, I want to paint a picture for you. And I want to go back 40, 50, 60 years, and I want to give you just a snapshot of where we were back then, and then I'm going to share with you a number of scenes of as to what's happening and what has brought us to where we are today. A number of months ago, I picked up a book called Smashing the Gates of Hell in the Last Days, and this book was written back in the 60s. I want to read you about 2.5 pages. I'm going to take a little bit of time this morning, but I want to just lay it out, because I want you to hear some things. And then I'm going to share and just paint something for you. 1975. A respected prophecy teacher, publisher of the monthly Prophetic News, he wrote this. Please note carefully something that recently came to light through the United Nations organization. A dispatch by the UPI from the United Nations headquarters tells us, in quote, satellites orbiting the Earth can beam messages directly to television sets in viewers' homes to brainwash people without them even knowing it. What year is this again? 1975. We're talking 50 years ago today. He carries on. By sending out subliminal messages that are recorded only in viewers' subconscious, the technique can be used to mass hypnotize and influence politics of other countries. The use of subliminal messages is banned in some Western European nations, but not in the United States of America. The system could be abused to spread false news or indoctrinate unsuspecting audiences. Can I read that again? This system could be used. The report was prepared by the Secretary General from a United Nations task force. All the world wondered after the beast, and as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed, Revelation 13. No one scoffs at the possibility of worldwide communications and control. Now the communication satellites twinkle among the stars and intercontinental television systems are in operation. 1975. Author Margie Cassidy writes for Psychology Today magazine, a Harvard lawyer and psychology lecturer, Ralph Switzgebel, describes electronic monitoring systems that could be used to keep track of dangerous people. Cassidy commented, unless society becomes more humane in its use of technology, it is no surprise that researchers like Switzgebel hang up their crude tools rather than refine new ones that might put us all under the watchful eye of Big Brother. What year is this again? The coming Antichrist can demand that people all over the world watch certain programs on their television sets. Even the means to check on those not complying is available for use and being used for television viewing surveys for rating purposes. A mobile antenna can now be pointed at the home to determine whether the television is in use, how many are turned on, and what channel or channels are being watched. What year is that again? No wonder Antichrist is pictured in Revelation as having power to detect and slay a multitude of resistors in the tribulation period. It is possible to bombard the subconscious mind with visual signals flashed on a television screen for such a short time that the conscious mind is not aware of them, but which have a hypnotic effect on the subconscious. For more information on this article, how to keep from being manipulated. In the last days, Satan's battle for the soul is really the struggle for the mind. The contest is fought for memory, the nerve cells, the subconsciousness, and ultimately for the will. The first study of subliminal perception came to public attention in the late 1950s. At that time, legislators and the public were shocked at the implications involved in subliminal or sub-audio perception. Legislation was introduced in several states and in the United States Senate to prohibit the use of subliminal techniques in public advertising. Though these many laws were introduced during this period and their introduction received wide publicity, none was ever enacted. So despite the fact that most people believe that they have been protected from these subliminal tactics, there is no legal prohibition against their use. This was written in 1976. At this date, we are unsure as to whether prohibitions against subliminal techniques have been enacted or not, or in what areas any restrictions might exist. Mead continues. The first experiments in subliminal perception were based upon a tachyscope, a film projector with high-speed shutter, which flashes messages every 5 seconds at 1/300th of a second. This machine originally was used to flash messages superimposed over motion pictures in what? Theaters. During a 6-week test of the machine in the theater, messages were flashed stating, "Eat popcorn. Drink Coca-Cola." Popcorn sales increased by more than 50%. Coca-Cola sales by more than 18%. How many of you remember hearing about that in the 70s? How many of you remember? How many of you were born in the 70s? Yeah? This crude beginning with the tachyscope has developed into a fine art. Today, commercial research firms offer mechanically induced subliminal messages to anyone who can pay their fee. They're being commercially used every day in North America. And there are non-mechanically induced subliminal techniques just as effective. An Assemblies of God minister who visited behind the Iron Curtain reports that most full gospel pastors there have been imprisoned and many subjected to mental assault through the diabolical scheme of brainwashing. Beria, the master psychopolitician of Russia, developed this technique by building on the findings of Pavlov. The theory is that the brain may be washed and new patterns of thinking implanted. Methods used in brainwashing would sound fantastic if we did not have the proof of their use. When an injection of LSD is administered, it induces a state of total loss of reality for several hours. After several such injections, the subject can hardly discern reality and becomes susceptible to brainwashing. Beria is quoted as saying, listen to this, "Among Pentecostal groups, healing campaigns are conducted which, because of their results, win many to the cult of Christianity. You must recruit a smashing of all religious healing," unquote. It is significant to note that according to authentic reports, they have never been able to brainwash one truly spirit-filled child of God. As Jesus said, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Edward Hunter, author and foreign correspondent, stated that the factors he found in common in all who successfully resisted mental assault were faith, prayer, and strong convictions. A Lutheran pastor from behind the Iron Curtain stated at the 1958 World Conference of Pentecostal Churches that the only way the brethren could hold out in faith under these conditions was to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Satan attacks with new and unusual weapons in his battle for the mind of men today, but thank God our armor and our sword are as effective as ever against the principalities and powers and rulers of this dark world. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray always. When was that written? 1975. How many of you remember hearing about the popcorn and about the pop that took place? How many of you remember that again? How come the rest of you didn't hear about that? I remember hearing that when I was a kid. It was deceiving. It was sneaky. But I think back then it wasn't looked at as being harmful because all it did was increase popcorn sale. That's not too devastating to the world. But even to the degree that it was being used, the Christians of that day, looking at it, and what it could eventually become made the statement the only ones who had the power to not be affected by it were those baptized with the Holy Spirit. I want to make this really clear from the outset because I believe that is true with anything that I'm going to share with you. Can I ask you how many things have changed between 1975 and our day? How many things have changed? Technology. Yeah, you can, Emily. Yeah, we're going to get there, Em. Yeah, that's part of the change that's happened. When I went to school, I was a grade 12. The big thing is our school, it was a big deal because we had two computers that took up a whole classroom and you had to book time to go in and all of the, do you remember how big the machines were in the computers back then? They filled up rooms. I'm not that old, guys. Back off. Let me share with you a number of things. And I want to just share these because I want to make some statements about how things and where things are today. A number of years ago, probably, I don't know, could have been maybe 20 years ago, maybe more. How many of you know the name Celine Dion? How many of you know the name? Yeah. Anybody seen her live in concert? Anybody? Dan, did? Yeah. Where'd you see her? Edmonton? Huh? Vegas, yeah. She came to Edmonton probably, I don't know, 20 years ago, 22 years ago. Gorgeous voice, Canadian. Jane and I bought tickets. We went to see it. She was in the Coliseum, and so we went and we sat there. Amazing concert. She was in the middle, and everybody was sitting around her. Partway through her concert, she made a statement. She said, we have a special guest here tonight. She goes, I want to do a duet with somebody, and I want to bring them on stage. She said, how many of you have ever heard of Pavarotti, the tenor Pavarotti? Okay, we're sitting there going, this is weird because he's dead. All of a sudden, on stage, Pavarotti was standing there. And I'm telling you, from where we were sitting and from all around the place, Pavarotti was on the stage with her. He looked absolutely real. They began singing a duet. They moved together. They faced each other. They talked. He had the mic. They were both singing. It was an unbelievable. You would sit there and you're questioning your mind going, I didn't take LSD, but what's going on here? They finished singing and they talked a little bit and he said goodbye to the crowd and all of a sudden he disappeared. How many of you have seen that kind of thing happen somewhere in your presence before? A few of us have. I want to tell you, it was the weirdest. It was amazing. I mean, their duet was amazing. But the technology to do that just left you like, what is going on? Just after we moved out to the acreage, we made some flower beds in front and wanted to get some different dirt than we were using out in the country. And so I went to a landscaping place in town here. And I had taken measurements of the size of our flower thing. And so I went to him and I said, I'm needing some dirt. He goes, how much do you need? I said, well, I'm not sure. I said, this is the dimension. Gave it to him. He pulls out his cell phone and he goes, how many cubic meters in this dimension, but whatever. And all of a sudden his phone spoke back to him. I'm telling you, I was standing there. I came for dirt, but I was standing there. And I was like, what the heck just happened? How many of you remember the first time you heard somebody speak to their phone and it spoke back to you? How many of you remember that? I want to ask you another question. How many of you are speaking to your phone today? I speak to my phone all the time. But that first day, I spoke to my phone and he finished. And I stopped him and I looked at him and I said, how did you do that? He goes, well, there's a function on the phone here that you just have to speak to it. You ask it any question, and it will shoot it back to you. And I'm like, I walked out of there, and I remember phoning Jane. I said, Jane, you would not believe what I just experienced in this landscaping place. She wasn't impressed. She said, did you get the dirt? I said, I got the dirt, but I want to tell you about the phone. I want to tell you, who it? We're not even talking about the phone that you had to be hanging by the wall with a cord. Okay, we're not talking about that, or the big Hummer where you can plug into your vehicle, or the little flip phone. We're talking about talking to it, and it's talking back to you. I forget how long ago it was. I was watching the news one evening, and all of a sudden, there was a news clip came on, and it was a news story about a mom. She had two children, a two-year-old, and she had about a six-month-old. And she was out at a park. She was playing. She was holding the six-month-old, and the two-year-old was not that far, maybe 10, 15 feet from her. And all of a sudden, it showed it on the news, all of a sudden, an eagle flies in, swoops down, with its talons, grasps the two-year-old by the clothes, picks it up, and flies away with the two-year-old, dropped it off about, I don't know, 30, 40 feet or whatever, because the kid was a little bit heavier than the eagle. And the mom just gets up, freaked, runs over. This made the news. And looking at this, there's a whole bunch of things didn't go through my head, but a whole bunch of things did go through my head. And I'm looking at this, and they're going on about this, and they're saying, just a reminder, parents, you got to be a little more careful. You know, we're concerned about coyotes and dogs and whatever, but just got to be a little careful because of what might come out of the air and take your child. Did any of you see that? Yeah, some of you did. Well, I thought this is crazy. So the next evening, and it happened for a couple other evenings, watching the news again, the news came on and they said, we need to correct something because last night or the night, whatever, we showed a clip of an eagle taking a two-year-old and flying away with the two-year-old. They said, we made an error. What we discovered is that there was a university that had in their computer department, they had a course where they had to come up with something and create something. And so this was created and they put it online and it's out there and the news picked it up as being a true story and the news put it across as though it were real. And they go, we apologize because it was not real. It was a course from university that was put out there. How many of you remember the first time when you're watching something and you had to ask the question and go, is this real? How many of you remember when that began happening? You get to a point where you go, I don't know if this is real anymore. I can't tell what's real and what's not real. The hippo with the what? The hippo in the closet. Was that the same kind of thing? Yeah. I don't know how many of you have seen this. It was quite a while ago already, maybe last year, maybe a year and a half. Jane, I came home and she said, Carl, just get your glasses. I want to show you something. And so I went over, I sat in the couch beside her, and she pulls this thing up on YouTube. And all of a sudden, it's people talking about AI, and it just went from one person to another to another. There was eight people that went back and forth, and it was about 5 or 6 minutes long, this clip talking about AI and talking about all the concerns. And I mean, just all the information got to the very end of the whole thing and it came on the screen and said, none of these people are real. How many of you saw that one? Some of you saw that. I said, Jane, I said, play that again. I said, I missed something. I'm looking at these people and I'm thinking, this is real. These are real people. These are safe. We played it again. And I'm telling you, I was looking, I was trying to discern it. I could not pick up that these people were AI, that they were not real. I couldn't get it. If they wouldn't have put it at the end of the thing, I would still believe that that was an authentic, real thing. How many of you know the name Elon Musk? Just raise your hand. How many of you don't? That's probably an easier question. How many of you don't? Yeah. Elon Musk. Let's show hands. Good guy or bad guy? No, don't show me your hands. Don't show me. Don't. I don't want to ask you. Elon Musk has, we know him probably for Doge, right? That's probably where we probably know him for Tesla. We probably know him. Do you realize just recently that his executive board wanted to pay him $1 trillion to get him out of the business? Did you see that report? I mean, all kinds of boards are getting rid of their owners or the founders, but they wanted to pay him $1 trillion. He wouldn't take it. Why does he need $1 trillion? He's going to make another $50 trillion, wealthiest man in the world. Do you know that Elon Musk produced the satellites? Do you know that, right? Have you ever seen in the sky where you see satellites all following each other and there's about 20 of them or 25 of them that are all in a row? How many of you have seen that in the sky? Yep. He's done that. I don't know how many hundred satellites. To me, the interesting one is about a year and a half ago, he put up a whole series of satellites. There were 32 of them. And as they went up into the sky, just shortly after they got there, there was an asteroid storm, and all 32 of them were instantly destroyed by the asteroids. That would have been sad, but it didn't affect his pocketbook much. Can I tell you what you know? How many of you know what Neuralink is? What is Neuralink? What is it? An implant. Developed Neuralink, which is an implant that goes inside of a person's head. And with the chip inside of your head, it allows that person to be connected to a computer. And that computer not only has the ability to read everything about you, but that computer also has the ability to input into you what isn't there naturally. Neuralink. Fact or fiction? Fact. Neuralink is real. They're using it more and more all the time. I want to tell you what you already know. When they developed the chip to put into animals to track them so that they wouldn't get lost, when they did the prototype and said, we want to try this with children, there were hundreds. In the U.S. state, there were hundreds of parents who lined up to get the implant inside of their children so that if they got lost, they could find them with satellite. Hundreds lined up to get the chip. Neuralink is real, church. Only a few months ago, an employee of ours, he came to me and he said, Carl, I got to show you something. I said, what do you got? He said, I showed this to my wife. I showed this to my sister. He goes, it's amazing. They were both just crying. They were just crying as they were listening to this thing. I said, show it to me. I want you to see what he showed me. James, can you shoot it up? We'd like to take a donation to send to that young lady. How many of you would give? Why not? It's not real. How long did it take you to figure out that's not real? Seconds. I got to tell you, I sat there with our employee, and he was looking at it, and he thought this was amazing. His wife and his wife's sister were bawling. They watched this several times, bawling. He's looking at me. I'm picking up. The moment I'm looking at it, I know it's not real. I made a statement to him, and I said, because he's not a believer yet. And I said to him, I said, if this is real, I said, this is a powerful message. I took it home, and I started it for Jane. Jane looked at it about 5 seconds. She goes, this is not real. You're not watching it. Zach walks in. I said, Zach, I said, wanted to show you something. He looks at it about 5 seconds. He goes, that's not real. I'm not watching it. But can I ask you a question? How many people out there would look at that, the God message, the handicap message, and they would have an appeal at the end of it, and how many millions of dollars do you think would come in off of that? Do you think that's the only not real thing that you and I have been looking at the last little while? How many of you are familiar with the thing that's been going on in China for a long time where they have been only allowed to have one child, and as a result of that, they can find out what their pregnancy is, and if it's a girl, the vast majority of them were aborted because if they're only going to have one, they're going to have only a boy. The ratio right now in China between boys and girls, anybody know what's the ratio right now between men and women? What's the ratio? 5 men to every 1 woman in China. 5 men to every one. A number of years ago, they opened it up. You're now legal. It's legal to have 2 children in China. But the ratio is 5 to 1. Can I ask you, does that create any problems at all? Create problems? Creates problems. Part of the problem is that there are not enough women in China to marry the men. How did China come up with a solution? What's the solution? Go ahead, what did they do? What? Go to the rest of the world. They didn't do that. What's the solution? A robot. Anybody know the robot's name? China came up with a number of years ago a female robot that does everything that a female does. They never say no to have relations with men. They never say no. They never have a headache. They all have absolutely perfect bodies. They do everything that a man asks them to do. Everything a man asks them to do. No hesitation, no question, nothing. That is going on in China and now beginning to spread outside of China around the world. Can I ask you, is there something wrong with that picture? How many of you have flown an airplane in the last year? How many of you have flown? A number of us have. What is the issue now that we have to be concerned about in airports? What's the issue? What's the issue? Came out a number of months ago. Digital ID is interesting. When we just went to Utah in Canada, we go to the immigration, we hand our passport, when we're in the States coming back, they don't want to see your passport, they don't want to see your ticket, they just go, would you stand in front of here, take your glasses off, would you stand right there? The machine looks at you, just scans you, shoots you in your eyes and goes, Mr. Hulk, you're free to go through. It pulled up everything about me just by scanning my eye. Didn't do it in Canada, digital. In an airport. How many times have you gone to an airport, you take your phone is dying, you take it, you plug it in the airport, you charge it up while you're waiting there, you're on your phone, and then you pull it out, you take it with you. How many of you have ever done that in an airport? Never. Tell me why never. Because right now, what is happening is in an airport, you plug your phone in simply to electrically charge it. All of your information is taken off that phone simply by plugging it in. Is that amazing? People who use it wrongly. Stolen identity, stolen, people do all their computer stuff. Let me just ask you one. How many of you do any banking on your phone? Just raise your hand. Can I ask you a second question? Why? Why do they want the information? Everything you do on your phone goes off your phone. Every number, every serial number, everything you do on your phone is instantly sucked out. This has happened, I don't know how many times. Jane and I sitting in the family room and we're just sitting on the couch, we're talking and we are talking about a topic. Our laptop is sitting on the table or on the desk or in the kitchen counter over there. We're talking over here about a certain topic. We finish talking, and whichever one of us goes to get the laptop, we open it up. All of a sudden, the moment we open it up, everything we talked about is scrolling on our laptop. Our laptop was closed. Have you ever had that with your phone? Your phone is shut off. Your phone is sitting there. You're talking about something else. You pull your phone up, and everything you're talking about, it starts shooting you all this information on your phone. How many of you have had that happen? Do you know why they call a smart TV a smart TV? What did they say? 1975, from a satellite, they can shoot down to your TV. They can tell who's watching it. They can tell what you're watching. They can tell how many people you're watching. That was in 1975. Proximity is total now. Now they have the ability to know who is watching. They know what you're wearing. They know what you're watching. They know everything about it. They can tell you down to the exact number of how many people are watching the Super Bowl at any given time. They have the ability to do that. This may sound really crazy. When Jane and I bought our TV, we had a dumb TV for a long time. Our kids said, get rid of the dumb TV. Get a skinny, smart one. We bought a cabinet that closes the door on our TV. Is that a dumb thing? I don't want our sucker of a TV looking into our living room, looking at us, being able to scan, being able to know what's going on. Can I just ask you, how many of you actually believe that that is going on today? How many of you believe that? How many of you go, that's not real, that's not true? Just raise your hand. How many of you don't want to say anything? Chat GPT. Just raise your hand if you know what it is. Chat GPT. What is Chat GTP? Somebody tell me. What is it? Whatever you want it to be. Do you know there's four categories of artificial intelligence? Only two are fully active right now. The first is just simple recall. The second moves into actual memory and working back and forth. Chat GPT is one of those. I want to give you an example. How many of you use chat? How many of you use it? Why? It is. It's amazing. I want to give you one example. And they're here today, but it was awesome. I was visiting a family in the church, and their sons were there. We were talking about this. I had never heard of chat. This was only a few months ago. Never heard of chat. And they're telling me about this, telling me problem solving, telling me all this other stuff. And they said it can do anything. And so I said, can it write sermons? Writing sermons is probably one of the simpler things chat can do. So they said, give me a topic. I said, okay. I did a dissertation when I was at university. I said, give me the four manifestations of Satan in the Old Testament and write a sermon on that. How many of you ever thought of that? Four manifestations of Satan in the Old Testament. How many of you read my paper? That's what I thought. They spoke that into chat. About 10 seconds later, chat starts going off a full sermon on the four manifestations of Satan in the Old Testament. A full-blown, breaking-down, outlined sermon on Satan in the Old Testament. I want to tell you one of the issues right now. Do you know how chat is being used in university students? You know how chat is being used in high schools? Do you know how chat is being used to write dissertations? You know how chat is being used to do all the issue right now, the intellectual stuff in the whole college, university world? It's crazy right now because students and professors are using information that's not theirs. They haven't done the research, haven't done any work. It's all happening for them. I don't even know the full extent of chat. I'll tell you, it's an amazing AI thing. But like subliminal pictures in your movie theater that make you buy more popcorn, is it something that might be used? Tell me what happened in Vietnam just recently. 81 million people had their bank accounts frozen. 81 million bank accounts, not people, because most of us have more than one bank account. 81 million bank accounts were frozen from people in Vietnam who refused to transfer over to digital ID. 81 million. How many of you remember the trucker convoy in Canada? Anybody know anybody who went? Yeah, we do. We got some people in our church who went. Do you know what happened to a lot of the bank accounts, the people who went to the trucker convoy in Ottawa? What happened to their bank accounts? Totally frozen. I'm going to ask you just the dumbest question in the world. Can I ask you a dumb question? Are we moving to digital? Will you and I have the ability to say no and have an option out of it for the long term? Will you and I? The other day, a great friend of mine sent me an Instagram clip. Trump was sitting at his desk signing an order. The Nezara-Gesara reset. It was a order. I looked at it. I tried to open it up. I couldn't open it up. I sent back and I said, I can't open this up. It didn't take very long after he sent back to me and he said, that's okay. It wasn't real anyway. Anybody know? Anybody know what the Nezara-Gesara reset is? Anybody know what it is? Is it real, first of all? It's totally real. Nezara, Gezara, reset. How many of you know what it is? Two. Let me tell you what it is. The National Economic Security and Reformation Act. It is a very real thing. It has not been put into place yet. But here Trump was signing an order in the Oval Office enacting a total restructuring of the financial system in the United States of America, and it went out. Huh? On Fox. And it wasn't even real. The ability now, not just people phoning and saying, how many of you have been to the bank and you've seen the notice on the wall? Said this is going on cameras right now. You'll be getting a phone call that your grandchild is in problem, having a problem, and they'll be asking for $65,000 to $8,000 from you. How many of you have seen that notice all over town in cameras here? All over town. Is this the only scam that's going on? No, it's not. We're talking in the billions of dollars, the scams that are going on out there. And here's the crazy thing. With AI technology now, they have the ability to take your voice and use your voice anywhere they want to. They can use your voice, and when they pick up the phone or somebody talks, they will hear your voice on the phone. Say that again. Your own phone number phoned you. Yeah. It's no longer Nigerian phone numbers that are phoning. It's local phone numbers that are phoning. And it's no longer just your phone that's doing it. They will be able to, and they are right with AI. They can literally make it so that they can make you, somebody will look at you, and you're talking, and other people will believe it. How many of you know the name Jonathan Cahn? Jonathan Cahn, have anybody listened to him lately? Anybody listen to him? One of the things he's saying out there, and it's not just him, but it's a whole pile of ministries, they're going, make sure that when you go on, this is the site that you look at, because I am being hacked, I am being duplicated. There are ministries out there that are using my name, my body, my voice, everything of mine, and people are sending money to all of those ones out there. They're going on, and it's me, but it's not me. He's going, it's not me. And I'll say this really clearly. I don't know of a lot of non-believers who are going to send money to Jonathan Cahn. But I know a pile of duped Christians who will send money because they can't pick it up. I don't know if you know this. Jane brought it to my attention quite a while ago, actually. There is a church in the United States of America that every Sunday, they have an AI Jesus that is on their screen, and the AI Jesus preaches to them, and the AI Jesus answers questions and talks back and interacts with the congregation, and then the congregation worships Jesus. Do you think I'm joking? Church, I want to tell you, this is the world we're living in. If we could say we're back in 1975 where they're making you eat popcorn and drink more Coke, that is one thing. Things have changed in the last 50 years. This is the world we're in, and I'll tell you, I've only scratched the surface. The question is, as believers, how do we navigate all of this? How do we keep from getting duped? How do we know what's real and what's not real? And I want you to think about much or most of all that's going on here is about money. It would appear to be about money, but I'll tell you the truth is, the demonic agenda behind it is more than just money. I'll tell you, if you're not a believer, it wants to keep you deceived from becoming a believer. And if you are a believer, it wants to deceive you to make sure that you lose your faith and you wander off and you lose it. I want to end today with this. Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 24? I'd like you all to turn there. Even if you use a phone, would you turn there? Matthew chapter 24. If you are waiting for your spouse to look it up and you don't have one, would you just stand up? Would you do that? No, don't bother standing. Don't bother standing. Matthew chapter 24. I want to begin at verse 21. It says, "For then," this is talking about the signs of the end of the age. It says, "For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. For the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,'" this is Jesus' words, "don't believe them." Don't believe them. "For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform" what? "Great signs and amazing miracles." They will come, great signs and amazing miracles, to deceive even the elect. If that were possible. Quoting the pastor back in 1975 when they were doing all the mind stuff, who were the only ones who were not deceived, the only ones that couldn't be brainwashed, the only ones that could not be affected, who were the only ones? Those that were baptized with the Spirit of God. They were the only ones. Look at this, verse 26. "So if anyone tells you, 'There he is, go out in the desert,'" what does Jesus say? "Don't go out." "Or here he is, he's in the inner room," don't believe it. I want to tell you, I believe if Jesus were here today, he would look at you and I, he would see what's going on in the world, and he would go, "When you're hearing this, don't believe it. When you're seeing that, don't believe it. When this is going on, don't believe it." Church, there is a pile of things you and I, Jesus told us not to believe. And can I tell you why I believe when he goes, he's out there, Jesus is out there doing signs and miracles and wonders. Do you know what happens today? There are a pile of Christians that hear, "Oh, this ministry is going on and they're doing this and they're doing that." There's people who flock out there. They don't ask the question, "Lord, do you want me to go?" They don't ask the question, "Is this genuine?" They don't ask the question, "Are they dealing with false theology?" Or it... Do you know that people run to signs and wonders without thinking anything about their theology? That's the world we're in, church. Jesus said to his, "Don't go." Jesus said to his followers, "Don't go. They're lying. They're deceiving you. It's not real." I want to tell you, church, we need to know what's real. We need to know what's not real. We need to have the ability to discern. We need to have the ability when everybody else is bowing down, because everybody's bowing down. In fact, other Christians are bowing down around us. We need to have the ability to go, "I can see right through that. I know what's going on." Next week, I'm going to share with you what we have been given so that we won't go, we won't be deceived, we won't be like those of the world. And I want to end with this. If Jesus prayed, "Father, I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but I ask that you would keep them from the evil one." Can I ask you a question? If Jesus prayed that, was it in the will of God? And if it was in the will of God, do you think the Father has made a way in this world of deception, this world of deceit, this world of AI? Do you think that the Father has made a way for you and I not to be duped? You bet he has. We're going to talk about that next week. Zach, could I have you come? Would you bow with me in prayer this morning? I got to tell you, as the Lord and I were praying about this message and what's going to come next week, I got to tell you, I was very impressed by the Lord of the amount of spiritual warfare that was going to take place, what's going to be going on inside of people's minds, what people are thinking, the ability to discern, the ability to think, "This is trash, this doesn't happen." I got to tell you, I want to encourage you to be in prayer between now and next Sunday. I want you to be praying for me as I am going to be sharing with you next week. But I will tell you this. There are pastors who've been in ministry longer who have been far more powerful gifting who have been deceived and are no longer walking with the Lord. I wish you and I were immune. We're not immune. But we have been given what it takes. So, Father, today, I want to say thank you again. That one word that just keeps coming back over and over, and we say it glibly, it's almost like a bumper sticker, but Father, it is a reality. We are in this world, but because we are yours, because we're filled with your Spirit, we are not of it. We are not of it. We are not of it. I want to thank you, Holy Spirit. Even back in 1975, when a pile of this stuff was beginning, I want to thank you that already back then you were opening up minds, you were opening up hearts, you were giving people revelation of the deception, of the lies, of what is going on, what's happening. Thank you that you were the one who kept your people. And you're still doing it today. I thank you, Holy Spirit, you are the one who opens our eyes when everybody is believing and giving in that area. We're looking and we're going, that is fake. And even if we're the only ones, Father, who say it, we are not going to be ashamed. We will stand when everyone else is bowing. And so, Holy Spirit, this week I ask you to prepare every heart and every mind. I ask that you would give us discernment that is not found in this world. I pray that you would give us wisdom that only comes from heaven. I pray, Holy Spirit, in the midst of our workplaces, our school, wherever we are at, Father, I pray that we would be the one with eyes wide open. We would speak the truth in love. And we would challenge the lie and provide people the opportunity to know the truth that can set them free. This morning, if you are here or if you are listening online, there has never been a time in your life where you have prayed as a personal decision to receive Jesus Christ into your life as Lord and Savior and be filled with Holy Spirit. This morning, I want to invite you to do that. And I want to say to you, apart from doing that, there is no eternity with God. But I want to tell you, apart from doing that, there is no security in these latter days of the deception of the enemy. Apart from Christ, we don't have what it takes. So if that is the cry of your heart this morning, would you just repeat after me and just say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and for rising again from the dead. As an act of my will, I invite you to come into my life. I ask you to be my Savior and be my Lord. And today I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. Empower me and protect me. By faith, I say thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family of God. Would you stand with me this morning and receive the benediction of the Lord? As an alien in this world, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his beautiful face to shine on you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and today fill you with his peace and his discernment in this world. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and everybody receiving it said, amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next Sunday.